We are back. Green and yellow, green and yellow. It's a little something-something for everybody. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Thank you for rocking with us. If you've been rocking with us, if you're just joining us, thank you for joining as we talk all things as everybody. And we want to line your calls up, 916-339-1140. Do you care about the in-season tournament, right? If the Kings won the in-season tournament, are you moved?
Tripping, yes. We're throwing a parade.
You're
tripping. We're probably not throwing a parade, but we're
unofficial one. The Kings aren't doing it. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
1,000%. There will
Sacktown Sports parade.
There will be
down Commerce.
A march down K Street for sure.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right.
Probably stopping at the Capitol.
Why don't you break down what's going on at the in season? Because I think a lot of people have questions.
Yeah, of course.
There's jerseys coming out. There's courts coming out.
That's the
coolest
part.
What's going on with the in-season tournament?
Yeah, so this is obviously the first year the NBA is going to try and make this thing work. I'm actually pretty excited just to see the execution of it and to see the reception of it as well. Right now, we are still in the group stage of things, which is, of course, the first stage of things. All 30 NBA teams have been brought into groups of five within their conference based on the win-loss record of last year. So the Kings are with the Warriors, the OKC Thunder, the Spurs, and help me out, somebody else. Is that it? Somebody else as well. I can't remember.
Timberwolves.
Yes. And that's all based off of last year's standings. And they will now go into group play where they will essentially play each other. It'll be one game against each of those four opponents. And there will be two at home, two on the road. There will be independent courts that will be used only for in-season tournament play. That'll be interesting because they're a lot more colored and stuff like that. But at the end of this, you move on to the knockout stage, which will be the winner of all six groups plus two wild card teams, which will be selected by whoever has the best record in each conference. So it will not be, you know, whatever. It's self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. The two best teams who aren't already qualified in each conference will make it over to the knockout stage. Knockout stage is a single elimination tournament. The final four will be held in Las Vegas on Monday, December 4th and December 5th. And then the championship will be, I believe, at the end of that week. And then we will have a, just like every other tournament, we will have a winner. There will be an MVP of the tournament. There will be an all-conference or an all-tournament team.
Yeah.
There will also be cash rewards given out to every team that makes the knockout stage. And then the further and further you go, obviously, the more and more money the players will earn. I believe every member of the winning team is going to be earning $500,000. So, you know, that doesn't really hold the same weight for Steph Curry as it would for Gary Payton II. That'll be an interesting wrinkle to kind of see, you know, maybe Kessler Edwards will be giving a whole lot more effort or will be clapping a whole lot harder on the bench because obviously he'll want to win just as much as anybody else. And so, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see the Kings play their first tournament game. What will that be? Next Friday, I believe, against the Oklahoma City Thunder. They don't play today, but there is, like Kyle said in his update, there will be one Group C matchup today, which is the group the Kings are in, and that'll be the Golden State Warriors against the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Wow. And I believe our own Whitey Gleason has the Kings winning.
Yes, sir.
The in-season tournament, beating the Atlanta Hawks. And Trae Young off to a bit of a slow start. And Kyle was getting on me earlier about DeAndre Hunter and giving him a stray. Hey, I'm just saying, they're just names, right? And maybe it's because I don't frequent Atlanta
DeAndre
Hawks
Hunter
basketball.
Is still the third best player on a team that was the 7 seed in the East last year.
Right.
You
better get to know him. You know, DeAndre Hunter is not in the same conversation as some of the other guys that we have talked about. Marvin Bagley III,
Stop it.
Stop talking about him. I promise
Thomas
you.
Robinson.
There's just a lot of names. So we're going to
Georgios Papagiannis.
We're going to move forward from that. You know, but it is, you know, I feel like the in-season tournament is one of those things where everybody's going to say they don't care. Mm-hmm. But once things get going and once everything is percolating and all that jazz, you're going to care, right? If it's,
I think once this thing gets to the knockouts,
if it's Kings Lakers or Kings Warriors and it's, hey, Winner goes to the next round. So here's my question.
Yeah.
Once you get to that tournament, and I believe it's
the knockout stage,
the knockout stage, that does not count for your those are extra games.
All of these count towards your records. There will only be two teams will play 83 games this year, and those are the two teams in the championship game.
That is so interesting.
So when they released the schedule this year, they only released 80 official games. So every team still has two games left on their schedule that they don't know who they're going to be playing and when they will exactly be playing them.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of the weird, interesting wrinkle in this that I still don't fully understand, but I think it's not as confusing as what it sounds like. So
okay.
I'm pretty sure it's just going to be, hey, let's say the Warriors, whatever. Yeah, we'll say the Warriors are the team that wins Group C. They make it to the knockout stage. So the Kings then are not in that knockout round. I assume they will play two of the other teams in their group that also didn't make it to the knockout round. If that makes sense.
Right.
As the Warriors are playing, like I think there's going to be a consolation bracket.
Just so everybody gets those.
Just
extra
so everyone
games
gets to 82. Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
It will be very interesting.
Wow.
But I agree. I definitely think that once this thing goes to Vegas, like once the knockout stage kind of gets in full swing, I think people are going to care a lot about this.
I think they will.
The players, you're just going to feel a different environment. Like it's going to feel. It's first off, obviously, it's the first year they're doing it. I think it's going to feel unique. It's going to feel like an event. And obviously, the NBA has poured tons of money into the promotion of this. So they're going to try and make it work, and they're going to try and make it feel as big as possible, however that may be, bringing in the stars or just having it be a – it's going to be like an interesting little basketball convention. Like, you know, they literally have a basketball convention now during Summer League, but it's going to feel like an extension of that for sure. It's just going to be a week or a Monday through Thursday of just NBA talent in the city of Vegas doing a knockout tournament. Like, that's really, really intriguing, I think. And I don't think people fully understand how cool it's going to be until we're presented with it. I just hope that it's going to be some good, interesting storylines, and it's not, you know, the Orlando Magics of the world against the Hawks and the King. You know, I hope that there is still a little bit of juice behind it because, you know, I think that this tournament's going to need as much promotion and attention as possible in order for it to kind of work.
Yeah, from the text line, the 916... In-season tournament is nothing but marketing to sell more junk.
Absolutely.
Zero interest. That is from the 916.
See, I think that I wouldn't say both things can be true, but I think that it is true that the in-season tournament is nothing more than marketing BS. However, I do think it's still going to be entertaining. I think it's going to be good.
Well, I...
It is BS that they're only doing it for marketing and, marketing and, you know, money purposes, but I still think that it doesn't mean that it has to be a bad product. Like March Madness is still, for the most part, pretty much just a massive marketing opportunity. You know, the tournament still has its moments.
Yeah, who else is watching college basketball? We talked about it, yesterday, a couple days ago, about watching college basketball. The thing is, the NBA has a problem in terms of watching the regular season.
Yeah.
How many of you, as much as you love Kings basketball, how many of you watch all 82?
How many people watch that Spurs-Suns game yesterday?
Right. And it's not about your team. It's about other teams as well,
exactly.
Right?
It can't just be a baseball thing.
It can't just, right.
That can be a whole different conversation that I know you've got thoughts on. But like,
don't get me started.
Yeah, baseball has almost made their thing a little bit too...
Yeah,
team centric, and it's not so much about the league popularity,
right? And the TV deals, we know they're making money, so they don't care. And I get that when it comes to basketball and the 82 games, it's a similar situation. Hey, why don't you just cut the games in half?
Yeah.
They're not going to do that, so we can just not waste
they're
our
not
breath
even put it to 72
even talking about that. But really, when you discuss how many games are in the NBA season and caring about the NBA season, this is a way that the NBA feels to get you to care. Now, do I think that more people are going to watch the Kings game that counts as an in-season tournament game because it's an in-season tournament game? No.
Right.
Do I think people will watch the knockout stage of the game? And if you lose, you're out, and the Kings are up against whatever opponent? Right. Yes. Because everybody likes, and that's what the NFL, NFL is king on a football Friday. That is what the NFL has been able to create, urgency. Mm-hmm. Every week matters. Yep. Every game matters. So this is a way for the NBA to give you a taste of that.
Right.
Because we ain't going to cut the games. Right. We're going to keep it at 82 because these checks are cashing.
Yep.
So we're not going to count, we're not going to cut that. But at the same time, we are going to give you a different version or a different look to hopefully make you care about the regular season more. So ultimately, do I think it will make people watch the regular season more? Those specific games within the regular season, no. But the knockout phase, yes, I do.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, this has been done in, you know, it's done in soccer all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, it's not that foreign, or it is foreign concept for here, but it's not a foreign concept for sports. Like, it's just, it, like you're saying, it's a way of improving the regular season. This is not to do anything more than just elevate these games. These games were already going to be played. Mm-hmm. It's just now, like you said, there's a bit of urgency added to the games. There's a bit of importance, extra importance added to the game. And that's the thing that's been funny to me is people getting so upset about, this tournament's so dumb. I'm not going to watch the tournament. Well, were you going to watch the games anyway? Because they were going to, like, there's no difference except they're throwing a label
on it. The NBA is not losing. Well, technically, if nobody watches, I guess marketing dollars, they could lose. But I do think it's worth the risk because nobody is watching regular season
games. Think about just like how it helps the whole ecosystem of the team as well. Like, it's not just about viewership. It's also about, hey, this can also raise season ticket holder value where, hey, maybe before this San Antonio Spurs game in late November, you're selling that for $40 for an upper level seat. Well, now, what if that's a random late November game to get the Kings into, if they win, they clinch the in-season tournament. Mm-hmm. Well, now that season ticket price goes from $40 to $100, and you've now, you know, doubled the price and then some of your season. So it's just, it's good for everybody. And that's why, that's a big reason why the NBA, A, it's why they did this, and B, it's a reason why you better get used to it because it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. And I think it's going to work I do think that people are going to go to games and then after the game, go to work, that water cooler talk and say, yeah, I went to the Kings game or I went to whatever game, and it was part of the in-season tournament, so it was pretty cool, man. They
it's going to feel different. The court's going to look
different. It's Instagrammable. Yep, exactly. Look at this cool, different
The courts, court. The jerseys, all of that. And then, of course, the jerseys is a whole different marketing point where it's like the Kings win the in-season tournament in these throwback, you know, City Edition jerseys. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to buy that jersey because it reminds me of that first year they had the tournament and the Kings won, and it brings back so many memories. So the NBA knows what they're doing. They're printing money right now. And let's also not forget that they have a TV deal that's coming up in a couple of years that they're trying to also increase the value of what an NBA basketball game is worth in general as well.
So I think that it's going to work as much as people say they don't care. I don't think anybody, I don't think you're going to care right now for the initial games, but I do think you will care once it comes to the knockout stage because everybody loves a tournament. That's just what it is.
It's fact.
When we get back, it is time to preview the Houston Rockets. Are we overlooking the Houston Rockets? Are we overlooking Villain Brooks? Yes, that's his name. When we come back, Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sacktown Sports.
We are back, Sacktown Sports. You got Kyle behind the booth, and this is a very Kyle song, very connected. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, 10 a.m., 2 p.m., 7th official show. This is a very San Diego. I'm just on my longboard, just cruising down the beach, Mission Beach down there. I got fries in my burrito, which, by the way, that's a San Diego thing. Don't look at me like that, Kyle.
But you act like fries in the burrito is like the most exotic thing in the world.
But
like,
it's a San Diego thing is all I'm saying.
Yeah, lots of places do that. California burritos are awesome.
But that's a specifically San Diego says that they started that.
Yeah, we did.
Can I say something, though?
Yes.
That is one of the things fries, and we talked about Pittsburgh earlier with Mayo Man losing to Pittsburgh last night, and Primanti Brothers, right? So they put fries in their sandwich. They are very big in Pittsburgh, and there was one in San Francisco. I don't know if it's still there. Fries in their sandwich. fries in their burrito. We're going to start a segment here at some point, overly rated, underrated, or properly rated. Mm. And I got to be honest, fries in anything, better in theory than in practice.
Yes, agreed.
Because they soak up so much, I have no flavor now. Yeah. And now it's just a carb bomb.
Starch.
And now I got to go to the gym. Yeah.
Well, it depends. Agreed. Like, I think fries and burrito, excellent. Fries and sandwich, not opposed to it. Fries in, like a carne asada fries or something that's different.
I'm saying enclosed in something.
I think the problem is when they throw the fries in there, it's just, they just throw the unseasoned potatoes in. They're like, this is just
like
another...
In-N-Out fries.
Exactly.
In-N-Out fries.
Well, so that means you're not getting it prepared right, my guy.
Oh, here
no,
we go.
Nobody is like seasoning up fries and then
just to throw them in.
I gotta take you down to some taco shops in San Diego.
Okay. Sorry. I don't know where the Mexican spots are.
Yeah,
my
no,
bad.
God,
that's
gonna,
on me.
We're going to do a tour. We got Guy Fieri behind the glass.
Hey, man, that San Diego's got taco shops on every corner, man.
I hear you. I actually got into it with somebody from SoCal. I think I might have told you this because I said, look, brother, they were from SoCal. Obviously, we're up here in NorCal. I said, look, brother, I'll give you tacos, but you got to give us burritos because we are home of the Mission Burrito.
Sure.
We're not new to this. We're true to this. And he refused. He said, no, we get both. We're right by Mexico.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, sure, you are. But the Mission Burrito started in San Francisco. So what are we talking about here? And I'm giving you tacos. Yeah. And he said, no, I don't care. I don't care. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But we do care about the Kings, of course, the Beam regime. And that's why, the Beam team. And previewing the Houston Rockets as we get ready to see what the Kings got and if they can bounce back from that L against the Warriors. The 209 chiming in on our last segment talking about the in-season tournament. All of professional sports is just for marketing and to make money, in my opinion. People shouldn't overthink it and just try to enjoy it!
Facts.
Exclamation point. And I like that 209 on a fun Friday, a football Friday. Just try to enjoy it.
Yeah, sports are not about competition. That is the biggest, well, I should say, professional sports.
Yes.
And when it gets to the professional level, more specifically NFL, MLB, and NBA, those places are just trying to make as much money as possible. They are definitely businesses. They're not in it to try and have the most healthy competition possible to get the best winner. They are in it to make the most money possible, make the product as entertaining as possible.
Right.
Hence why we have teams scoring 120 points per game in the NBA and people throwing for 400 yards routinely in the NFL.
That it is for entertainment. It is for the fun of it. Yeah. That's what we want to see. That's just how it is. So as we preview the Houston Rockets, and look, the Western Conference we know is a gauntlet. Shout out to Thanos. And we're trying to figure out what games the Kings can roll the ball out for, and they're not many. And really, if you're a high school coach, I know you're just cringing right now because every game is important. But if there were teams where you feel like it, and we'll get to Wembanyama a little bit later and his alien self and what he has going on as he beats the Suns again. We might have to play that Pedro Martinez sound again because he might be the Suns' daddy at this point. So
what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
That's where Wembanyama is with Kevin Durant, and some of the graphics are just otherworldly, and I don't know if they've been doctored in this day and age. You really can never tell. But the Houston Rockets, they go out, they get Fred VanVleet, who, you know, being in the Bay when the Warriors lost to the Raptors and you didn't have Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson goes out, Fred VanVleet with that infamous laying on the ground with his eye bleeding. Yep. I mean, I like to say that Fred VanVleet created generational wealth for himself within 4 days.
Oh, for sure.
Within 4 days, he changed the trajectory of his family's life.
Yes. Within 4 minutes, he hit 9 points to start the fourth quarter of a closeout game 6 in the finals.
Yeah, it was unreal, and you never heard from him again.
No. I mean, he never had a moment.
He got
as
the bag.
As that.
I think he was undrafted G League guy, made his way up, never heard from him again.
He did make an All-Star team in 2020.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah. I mean, he's been good, but like it's been for a very irrelevant Raptor team is the bigger point.
Yeah, he's pulling.
It hasn't led to really any significant success since the playoff
run. No, no. So he is now in Houston. Dylan Brooks, a.k.a. Villain Brooks, is now in Houston. He's still trying to find where Steph Curry is on the court. And now the Kings come to town for a weird, not a back-to-back, but you play the same teams in a two-game series. If De'Aaron Fox goes or doesn't go, how do you feel? Do you think that the Kings either way should take two? Because me personally, I think that if De'Aaron Fox doesn't play for one, I expect them to split if De'Aaron Fox does not play both games.
I think they should go in with the expectation of winning both of these games. Mm-hmm. I still feel like even if you don't have your best player, that happens, man, and you got to be able to fight through it. I mean, they just got at least a good warm-up game in trying to do that, but I think especially when it comes to this lower competition, like if the Kings really do want to be talked about in the conversation of, you know, the best teams in the Western Conference or maybe even in the NBA, you got to take advantage of nights like this. Because let me tell you, Alan, like there's been days here in Sacramento where the Kings have been those bad teams.
Right.
And let me tell you what, when the 76ers come in and they don't have Joel Embiid and they don't have James Harden and they don't have Tobias Harris, doesn't matter. It hasn't mattered in the past. Teams have beaten the Kings when they haven't had their best players going. And so I expect the same from this Kings team now that they're in the situation to be the better team. They should be able to beat the Houston Rockets without De'Aaron Fox, regardless of how healthy he is. He shouldn't need to play in either of these two games for them to get the result. Now, can it happen? Sure. I'm not going to say like that texter the other day. There's no way you know, the Houston Rockets can beat the Kings. There's definitely a way that the Rockets can beat the Kings, but they shouldn't. The Kings should have enough talent to have Domantas Sabonis match anything that Alperen Şengün does. Keegan Murray should be head and shoulders better than what Jabari Smith is, which is hilarious because Jabari was picked a couple picks in front of Keegan and, you know, was maybe somebody that the Kings were going to look at if he fell to number four. So Keegan should be head and shoulders above anything Jabari Smith can do. Malik Monk, Kevin Huerter, the Kings just have the depth. This is where your depth is supposed to pay off for you. And it would be big if they can have a Chris Duarte 12 to 15 points off the bench tonight, or tomorrow, I should say.
Yeah.
I think that this is going to be really big for the Kings bench. I think they need to. That's where they have the clear and obvious advantage. The starters without De'Aaron, like you can imagine how maybe Houston can go tick for tack with the Kings starters, but there should be no reason why Chris Duarte, Malik Monk, you know, Sasha Vezenkov, whoever is coming off the bench shouldn't be able to outplay Jeff Green, Jayshon Tate.
Jeff Green Amen is Thompson. Still doing it,
Jeff
huh?
Yes, he went from the championship Nuggets to the Rockets. Okay.
Just go play.
And he's playing
the
significant
kids,
minutes, 17 minutes a game for him. The point is that the Kings bench should be able to significantly outperform the Rockets bench.
Yeah.
And that should really be the story of these two games.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if you're looking at it, and not to continue to bring up that game that happened a couple nights ago, because you didn't get that one, even though you were in position to get it, and we talked about moral victories, that's all fine and good. But the bottom line is it was an L. So because you didn't get that one, you kind of have to get these two because you got to make up for it. And it's not even make up for it. They're games that you should win, but you can't drop a game. It's just even more important to not drop a game that you could have because of it.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
I think that's really important for the Kings. De'Aaron Fox, I don't think you should play tomorrow. I know you're listening because you're a friend of the show, but just stick to Monday.
Yep.
Get your jersey retired tonight. Have a good time. Go out to your favorite restaurant in the Houston area and play. I don't have a problem with you playing on Monday, but Saturday just seems a little soon. And honestly, just feels unnecessary for a Houston Rockets team that is looking forward. If you're a Houston Rockets fan, what are you looking forward to? I'll tell you. You're waiting for college basketball, or you're waiting for the G League to start, the G League Ignite, because you're looking for picks.
Yeah.
You're looking for picks. Yep. So that is what you're looking forward to. You are not looking forward to anything else. The Rockets are not in their heyday right now, even though they cashed out. And it would be interesting to see what a Houston Rockets fan feels right now. Because you spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
But you spent money on
towards what?
Very interesting players.
Right. Also, they don't even have their draft pick this year.
Oh,
it's top four protected going to the Thunder for the Russell Westbrook trade.
Wow.
Tough stuff.
That is a tough look. I'll tell you what. That, you know what? The Rockets, who they signed, and yeah, they're going to catch a stray here. It reminds me of the Raiders signing Jimmy Garoppolo. Is that similar?
Yeah, I mean, it's just in the sense of like you sign this guy, but for what?
For what?
Like for what?
For what?
Like you're just kind of raising your floor, but you're not raising it to a level that's competitive with the rest of the league.
We hope people come.
You're going to be better than bad teams, like really bad teams,
yes.
But you're not going to be better than any
Please come to the stadium.
Team.
Please
it's
come
funny
to the
that
arena.
You said floor, though, because they were spending below the 90% cap floor thing, so if they hadn't spent that money, it just would have gotten split up and paid to, like, every team in the league, basically. So they said, we'd rather give this money to Fred Van Fleet than the league take it as part of being below the cap floor.
Interesting. Well, it's hopefully he... Well, not
well,
hopefully
that's always
when he goes
good
up
business,
against,
right? Yeah. Just spending money just because you have it and you don't want to give it up.
Right. Mike Tomlin, we don't care.
Yeah.
We do not care.
By
we
the
do
way,
not
quick
care.
Number here. The Kings last season, I looked it up, 26-8 against teams below 500. If the Kings want to, and that was with a 48-win season. So if the Kings want to continue to have 48 to 50 win seasons, like we've been told the goal is to improve on last year.
Mm-hmm.
That number has got to stay similar. I mean, against teams above 500, they were 22-26. So obviously that record you want to improve a bit, but you've got to beat teams that you should beat. And the Kings did a great job of that last year. It's why they were in the position they were in.
Right.
Got to do the same things this year. You got to kind of follow that same formula to try and get to the same amount of wins. So
yeah.
26-8 last year against teams below 500.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, is Domas, Domantas Sabonis, is he underrated? We'll tell you where he's ranked according to CBS Sports. All that and more. And I see you, Jess, on the text line. What do you think our record is for the next five games? Well, at 1230, we will talk about, well, no, sorry, at 1244, 1245, we will talk about the Kings record for the next 10 games. All that and more. Hunter Patterson, NBA writer for The Athletic at 115. All that and more when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Headlines.
Good afternoon, Sacramento. My name is Kyle Ledbetter, and these are your Sacktown Sports headlines. De'Aaron Fox may have a chance to play Saturday or Monday for the Sacramento Kings after spraining his ankle last Sunday. You can hear from Fox and Brennan Nunez's latest story up right now at SacktownSports.com. Our coverage on Sacktown Sports of Kings versus Rockets tips off tomorrow at 3:30 with game night, and then G-Man will be on the call at 5 o'clock p.m. The NBA in-season tournament begins tonight with 7 games. The Golden State Warriors will play the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first game as part of Group C. And in the NFL, it's a big weekend. You've got Kansas City versus Miami from Germany in the morning. You've got Baltimore versus Seattle on Sunday at 10 o'clock. You've got Cowboys versus Eagles at 1:25. And then you have the primetime Buffalo Bills versus Cincinnati Bengals game at 5:20. Those are your headlines. Reminder, all guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Now let's return to more of Styles and Watkins.
Live and local, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. Sacktown Sports.
We are back. Sacktown Sports, Styles and Watkins, taking you up to 2 p.m. Been a great show so far. It's been flying by. I can't believe it's already 12:30.
I know. It's how it goes, though. It's just like, once it hits 12:30, too, it just goes even faster.
Right.
Next thing I know, we're out of here.
Well, next thing you know, we'll be with you on Monday, of course, and we are joined by half of the Drive guys,
yes,
as it will only be Whitey Gleason and Jerry Reynolds.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
Whitey and Jerry. Kyle Draper might call in when he gets to Houston,
sure,
but let's prepare for one of the two Drive guys.
Houston, Atlanta, Vegas. You know, maybe he's listening to that on the flight as well. What do you think, Drape? Is he... He's Drake's going first class, right? He's a bigger guy. He's a vert, for those who don't know.
He's
definitely a vert.
Yeah, so let's get this out the way first, too, because even you texted me about it the other day. Kyle Draper is above 6 feet tall, y'all.
Yeah.
Okay, Katie Christensen is just She's
taller. Powered.
She's taller.
Yes.
Yeah, there's levels to this.
Yeah.
And Katie's on another level.
Right.
You know, the other day during the broadcast, they were showing Katie and Kyle standing next to each
other.
Right,
right.
I'm sure Katie had heels on, but it looked
Definitely had heels on, but Kyle
was maybe sitting or something like
that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's what you texted me. You were like, is Kyle sitting?
And yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
Nah, man.
Yeah, that's like, WNBA for you.
Katie's been here before to do the morning show. She feels like a legit 6'5".
That's solid.
I really don't know. I don't know how tall she is, but she's whatever she is, she is legitimately.
Yeah, so hope so. So I guess the question is, Kyle, is he going? He's got to go first class.
Has to, yeah.
He's not going private jet yet, but he's definitely going first class.
I assume he's flying with the team because he's broadcasting. So he's on the chartered flight with the team.
Right.
Bougie drapes. Bougie drapes. That's what's going on.
You know.
So shout out to our guy Kyle Draper going to Houston to call that game, those games. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as we get into somebody who, and we talk about overrated, underrated, properly rated. Domantas Sabonis, I think, is such an intriguing figure.
Polarizing for sure.
You had the situation where did he rap Draymond's foot? Did he get stomped on? All that stuff. And CBS Sports put out something about the big men in the NBA.
Okay.
And I'm going to read you the names
that
are ahead of Domas. And I want to get your reaction, your pure reaction. So Domas,
they are saying
this
is a ranking of just big men in general.
Big men in general.
Not
so it's
centers, not just labeling them big men.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
So in that, you have, I think it's top 15, something like that. You have guys that are in front of him. Some of the names that will kind of make you say, oh, I don't know about that. You have.
If Wembanyama is already above Sabonis.
No, he's not.
Maybe he should be, but
ahead of him, you have Nikola Jokic.
Of course.
Joel Embiid.
Of course.
Next after Joel Embiid is Anthony Davis.
Okay. I'm okay with that. When healthy.
After Anthony Davis is Bam Adebayo.
Okay. Just because it's that debate is another polarizing one, but I would say.
So that's
okay.
Fourth.
I can live with that.
That's fourth.
Okay.
Fifth.
This is where we're getting towards Sabonis range.
This is not going to make
like,
you happy.
Like, if he's not fifth,
I'm just going to tell you right
if
now.
If this fifth isn't a good fifth and Sabonis isn't sixth,
you're not going to
be. We're going to need more than one segment.
They have Zion.
No.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you. Yeah, because I didn't have anything to say to that.
Zion at
What are we
five.
Talking about? Zion Williamson?
LeBron James.
We're talking about Zion Williamson.
This seems like a cash grab.
Yeah, what is going... Wait, what?
Yeah. Zion at fifth.
You just can't do that. Like, you can't... You just can't... Like, Anthony Davis, I'll let slide. Because he... You know what? Anthony Davis played through the playoffs last year. He actually, like, played playoff games and wasn't hurt during that playoffs.
That is correct.
So I can give him at least the benefit of, okay, like, yeah, he's hurt, but he's played. I don't remember the last time I watched Zion Williamson play basketball. Now, I know he's been on national TV a couple times so far this year, but that's ridiculous. I mean, and I know when he plays, because I will give Anthony Davis the when he plays, absolutely, he's better than Zion, or better than Sabonis, but Zion hasn't even played enough to really guarantee that spot. Like, yes, when he plays, he is 24-10, and that Pelicans team has had success when he plays, but it's just there. It's nowhere near the requisite amount of games to count towards being listed as that, because you have to give the caveat of this guy never plays. And when you never play and you're comparing him to a guy who played through his freaking hand, his finger being busted, his hand was like his thumb was hanging off by a thread.
Oh.
And you're going to have him ahead of Sabonis? That's insane. Now, I'm not saying talent-wise. Obviously, Zion, what he's able to do is ridiculous. Okay? And Sabonis wishes he had the vert, or even half the vert that Zion has.
Shout out, vert.
But that's insane. You can't say that. You cannot. Give me the name and address of the dude who wrote this, because that is absolutely criminal.
But how do you really feel?
Why are we so zoomed in right now? I'm looking at the... I know I was getting
intense. But how do you really feel? How do you really feel?
I mean,
I'm kidding.
Both just frustrated and angry.
I mean, I understand. Like, truly, I understand why, again, as a talent, you could say Zion is better than Sabonis. But that's just disrespectful. That's crazy. You cannot say that. I just don't think you can justifiably say that. That's insane. He has not played enough basketball, period. End of sentence. This would be like, hey, I have Ben Simmons on my best playmakers list.
That's right.
But when he's right.
When he's right.
Okay, yeah, sure. Sure. And if I were 7 feet tall, I'd be in the NBA.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? Okay. Right. Well, that's number five. Who's number? Is number six at least Sabonis?
Jaren Jackson.
So you're telling me the guy, when we're talking again, this is big men.
That's Depoy.
You mean repackaged Rudy Gobert?
Yo.
That boy can't rebound. That fool gets like five rebounds a game and he's 6'11". Yeah, sure. Great. He can jump out the gym and get these blocks. I can't. Jaren Jackson drives me insane. Ask Steve Kerr about Jaren Jackson, because I know he's not a fan. After this Team USA experience, please, he was begging for a center.
Yeah, but a lot of people didn't like Steve Kerr as the coach anyway.
That's a good point. But I'm not a Jaren Jackson guy, and I'm for sure never in my life am I putting Jaren Jackson ahead of Domantas Sabonis. I'm just not. Like, Sabonis is way more skilled than him. Sure, Jaren Jackson shoots threes, and he blocks shots. That's great.
He shoots threes like Sean Marion, but it goes in.
He really does shoot them like Sean Marion.
But they go
in. So it looks ugly, and he gets blocks. That's great. Sabonis does literally everything for them, and he busts his butt on defense. Like, is he a good defender? Mm-hmm. No. But he really, really gives his all on defense.
Got to get to a break. That's when insane. We get back, the way you're reacting right now, it that's just insane. Makes me want to extend
that's
this segment.
That's
this segment was always supposed to be one.
I told
this segment
you.
Was only supposed to be one, but we're extending it because
so
the way Chris is reacting
it's
is
just so
outstanding,
trash,
and we have to keep it going. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Hell no.
That's what I'm saying.
Hell no.
Tell him, Mike.
Hell no.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team. Sacktown Sports.
We are back, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, and we are going down the list of big men, league's best post players. This is by Sam Quinn, CBS Sports, and Chris is giving just an outstanding feeling as we go through these different guys and trying to figure out where Sabonis is. And we're looking just like that meme, as we are now in November, so we're close to Thanksgiving as well. And you know, beans, greens, tomatoes, potatoes.
Yes.
Hog malls, is it hog?
Yeah, it's hog. I was listening to that the other day, and I swear she says hogs, dogs, and I was like, I really hope she's talking about hot dogs.
No way. Is anyone eating hot dogs at Thanksgiving?
That's trash.
That's crazy.
Poor. That is very. No, I don't mean financially poor. I mean that's poor effort.
I don't think anyone's eating hot dogs at Thanksgiving.
I mean,
the kiddie table. The
Just
kiddie table.
Yeah, maybe.
Even the kiddie
table. Like,
yeah,
give
actually,
the kids some turkey. Come on.
Hear it. It is November now.
It is. Yeah.
I got beans, creams, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb.
Hey.
Come on.
Hey.
Oh, there's more?
Wow.
Where's the your name?
Yeah.
Well, this is the remix, so I don't know what they put in it, so I have to...
I'm pretty sure we're good. I'm pretty sure we're good.
Definitely listen to it first.
Listen to it over the break, and we'll get back to it. And as we get back to this list, that is really grinding Chris's gears.
Yeah.
So we left off at, what was that,
number six, which somehow Sabonis still has not been
number
mentioned.
Number six was Jaren Jackson.
Can you give the entirety of the list so far?
Yes.
Up to this
for those
point?
Joining us, thank you for joining. If you've been listening, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, appreciate it on this Friday.
Nikola Jokic was one.
Okay. Rightfully so.
Joel Embiid was two.
Okay, MVP.
Anthony Davis, three.
Sure.
Bam Adebayo, four.
Okay, I've heard it.
You know, he was in the finals.
Yeah, exactly.
Zion, five is what really got you ticket.
That's crazy. That's just absurd. I mean, the dude just hasn't played enough basketball, and I'm not saying what I've seen from him hasn't been better than Sabonis, but it's just you just can't do it. You have to value health at some point.
It's like
point.
Bigfoot. Is that Bigfoot?
Yes.
Right. Crazy when you see him, but you rarely do or you ever do. Six, Jaren Jackson.
And that's just absurd.
Depoy.
This is hate. We're getting to hateration.
That's Depoy.
Sabonis was a third-team All-NBA player last year. For the center position.
You want to hear seven?
If this is not Domantas Sabonis, I might walk out. So, yes, I would love to hear seven because I would love an early day. Please make my day. Who's number seven?
Draymond.
Stop it. Stop it. No, Allen Stiles, you're lying to me.
Chris is leaving.
You're lying.
Chris is leaving.
You're literally lying to my face right
now. I'm not.
There is a 0% chance. No, you're – no. I got my headphones off. I don't even know. I can't.
Shout out Brandon. Brandon came in with no headphones on. That was a different
look.
He did,
yeah.
Very bold of him.
Yeah, he's a writer, you know.
Yeah, writers, you know, they kind of do
their
own
thing. When you step in the booth, you got to bring the cams with you.
Turn my headphones up. Yeah, turn the snare up.
No, the left one.
Yeah, the left one. I can't hear it.
I'm doing everything I can to ignore the fact that you just told me that Draymond Green got listed higher than Domantas Sabonis, which is just, I mean, come on. Where do I even start with this?
Listen to this.
You're talking about the triple single?
Though his 2022-2023
season
didn't start off on the brightest of notes, a.k.a. Muhammad Ali.
Punching your teammate in the face? Okay. Sure, yeah. Not on the brightest of notes. Okay.
Wonder what he means by that.
Yeah, I wonder.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, my gosh. So what else is the description? Is he got anything else? Like, what is his logic?
Yeah, on the brightest of notes, Green turned in another stellar year of defensive wizardry and playmaking acumen. It's hard to quantify.
Well, you can literally quantify
it's hard to quantify what he brings to the Warriors, but Steve Kerr has said many times that he's absolutely vital to their success. That bears out in the numbers as the Warriors' net rating improved by a team-best 12.2 points per 100 possessions last season with Green on the floor. His leadership, intensity, communication, and skill make him one of the most uniquely valuable players in the league.
Hmm. Who did Draymond stop last year in the playoffs? Because I don't remember. I remember
Jordan Poole.
That's
who he stopped.
That was a really good one.
Thank you. I'm here till Friday.
That was a really, really good one.
Didn't Lonnie Walker have like a 14-point fourth quarter against
King
Draymond?
King of the fourth.
That's like, I don't remember. I remember Kevon Looney being a problem for the Kings, specifically for Domantas Sabonis. Never Draymond Green.
The A-Town stomp.
I remember Draymond guarding
the
De'Aaron
Baytown
Fox.
The
don't
Baytown
remember
style.
That much having much success.
Draymond came off the bench at one point in the series.
That's a fact.
He
absolutely.
Did. And in the finals in 2022.
Reefer. That's what I got to say about this article. This is just absolutely insane. I don't know what this dude is on, but he needs to get off it because that's insane. Please. Okay.
So that was seven.
Alan, I'm not joking when I say please. Tell me Domantas Sabonis is at the very least number eight on this list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the pause.
Pascal Siakam.
Okay, no. Can we do something else? Can we please do something else?
No, not a chance.
Please. I don't,
not a chance.
Because how much longer is this thing going to go where I just trash all of these players who deserve their recognition, but not like this. Mm. Not like this. Not at this cost.
This wasn't even the one that I thought would be up for debate, which is Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, we already had Bam.
I don't even, I'm not even prepared to debate Domantas versus Pascal Siakam because I've never heard them put in the, just everything he's able to do. Like, I haven't even talked about I've been talking about what's wrong with these other guys, but like Sabonis is 19 points per game, led the NBA in rebounding, which, this is a big man list, right?
Right.
I feel like that's kind of important. Passing the ball, he's second only to Nikola Jokic, and if there is no Nikola Jokic that exists in this world, Domantas Sabonis is far and away the best playmaking big in the NBA. And then, like I said, if you want to disparage his defense, that's all fine and dandy. I think even he would admit his defense is his weak point, but it's not for lack of effort. Like, the dude busts his ass on defense every single game.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to live with the results. But the Kings have shown they won 48 games with him at center last year. So clearly it's not that big of a hampering to have him at that center position. So I don't even know what to say because, last year, a lot of the time I said I think De'Aaron Fox definitely had his case for being this team's MVP. But I truly do believe that if we're talking about the most valuable player to what the Kings did last year, I would say it's Domantas Sabonis. So to have him eighth on this list, and I could say you can maybe say he hasn't played the best basketball that we've seen him play so far this season. But even then, you look at the numbers and it's just like that again speaks to how ridiculous this guy is. Is mm-hmm. in that Golden State game in Sacramento, I would not say Domantas Sabonis had a good game. If I'm not mistaken, that man had 19 points and 18 rebounds.
Right.
That's a bad day for him.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not willing to hear it. I think that this is just too much of people. A, didn't watch the Kings in the regular season last year. B, only watch them in the playoff series, and C, are drawing all of their conclusions mm-hmm. based off of how Sabonis played in that playoff series instead of taking the totality of his work and what he's been for 82 games instead of worrying about what he was for 7.
Well done. Well done.
So I got to say for today.
I won't let you.
Please tell me he's number 9.
He's 9.
I never thought I would beg for this guy to be the 9th best big man in the league, but my goodness, what a terrible list. What a terrible publication. Yeah. Is that CBS Sports? I don't think we should run CBS Radio anymore.
Shout out CBS Sports. We love CBS Sports.
Yeah, we do. We do. I'm sorry. But we don't like your list. This is trash.
This might be
the worst list that we've ever gone through. And that's high praise, because we've done some really bad lists before. This is terrible.
I'm just saying.
This is really, really bad.
9. And to recap, for those of you just joining, as we move on, Jokic 1, Joel Embiid 2, Anthony Davis 3, Bam Adebayo 4, Zion Williamson 5, Jaren Jackson 6, Draymond Green 7, Pascal Siakam 8, Domantas Sabonis 9, Karl Anthony Towns 10.
I'm just going to let the chat do the talking for me here, because there's some great things in our YouTube chat right now. How about this one? Was this list generated by ChatGPT? Because that's definitely what it feels like. Let's see here. Last year, Sabonis was number 6 on this very list. How about this from Dwayne? Wilt Chamberlain, Oscar Robertson, Jokic, the only other players besides Domantas Sabonis to average 19-12-7 mm-hmm. in a season. Nobody else on that list except for Nikola Jokic and Domantas Sabonis have ever done that from the big man position. Oh, yeah. We're doing big men. As who pointed
Victor.
This out here?
Victor. Yeah, where's Giannis?
Where is Giannis?
Yeah.
Where?
I guess, where is Ja?
Where is Giannis? Where's Kevin Durant? Does he not count as
They're
a big man?
They're not big men, apparently.
Apparently not. Apparently, once you stand next to Wemby, you're no longer big. So,
yeah.
That's just, this list is trash. And, yeah, even the fact that Wemby isn't included. I could have lived
Wemby is at the, I don't know the numbers, but at the top of it, you have Julius Randle, Wembanyama, Rudy Gobert, and not that order, but a similar order. They also have Aaron Gordon. If you're going to have Aaron Gordon, why is there no Giannis? That's confusing to me.
Wait, Aaron Gordon as a big man?
Yeah, let's send this list into the sun. Let's just do it.
It's a crazy.
My goodness.
I guess Aaron Gordon is 6'9".
I'm really upset that we got 2 segments out of this, because the problem is he should have been so high on the list that there just wasn't much. Besides, number 4. Oh, yeah, you know, there is a Bam argument to be made, but, you know, it's really pick your style kind of thing. You know, Bam's more defensively minded, but, you know, when you really think about it on the offensive end, they kind of do the same thing. I'm okay with that argument, but I'm not here to argue for the past, 15, 20 minutes about how Sabonis is better than all these guys that he's clearly head and shoulders better than. If you just, here's a noble concept if you're going to write about the NBA, watch the actual NBA games.
Got to pay for league pass or pay for Sam Quinn's league pass?
I'll do it. I will gladly chip in.
Should we sponsor the league pass?
I will gladly chip in. We're gonna pay for this man's league pass, and we're going to pay for was the Ruiz who wrote that Brock Purdy was number 25.
Yeah.
We're going to pay for his Sunday ticket as well.
Wow.
My goodness.
Wow.
Come on, it's a Friday, man. Take that for data. It was supposed to be a Friday fun day, man.
I'm sorry. I got Chris Watkins upset. I got him upset. I really
editor wrote
didn't
the thing
to...
is garbage.
Hey, look.
Take that for data.
And look, all I ask is Sabonis underrated? And
yes, I think we got our answer.
40 minutes later, we got our answer. Got to get to a break. When we get
garbage.
Back,
actually
a fact. Self-awareness. Who has it? James Harden does not. That and more when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits, you name it!